This is Dial a Saint introducing Saint Teresa of Lisieux. Christ once told his followers something which not only baffled them, but the world which followed them. He said, "Unless you become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." God then gave us Saint Teresa to show us what he meant. Teresa was born in 1873 in the village of Alençon, France, the youngest of nine children. Her father was a jeweler and watchmaker. His wife made the well-known Alençon lace to sell. Daily routine began early at 5:30 in the morning, when both parents attended Mass before work each day. On Sunday, the father's shop was closed. The saying, "Charity begins at home," was certainly true, because Teresa saw her home filled with love and always open to help any of the villagers who were in need. The four oldest children died while still young, and Teresa was looked after by her older sisters, especially by Pauline, who hoped to enter the convent one day and become a nun. This example led Teresa, even at the age of two, to say that she would also become a nun and never refuse anything to Jesus. By nature, she was open and straightforward. If she saw something was good, her answer was that she wanted not just a part, but all of it. Her mother once said, "Teresa is a very intelligent child, but not nearly so sweet a disposition as her sister. Her stubbornness is almost unconquerable. When she has said no, nothing will make her change. One could leave her all day in the cellar without getting her to say yes. She would sooner sleep there." Teresa loved to play in her father's garden, and would delight in bringing flowers to make bouquets for her parents and the statue of Our Lady. When her mother died, the family moved to Lisieux, where Teresa attended school nearby. Her ability was noticed, and even though 8 years old, she was placed in a class with older children. She became first in her class with her studies, and was loved by all her teachers. But her success caused problems.
"One of the other children, seeing me so young, and almost always first at composition, and loved by all the nuns, became jealous, and made me pay in many ways for my little successes. In my timidity, self-defense was impossible, and I simply cried in silence."
She chose as a friend a little girl who did not appreciate her friendship.
"Still, I love my little school friend, and continue to pray for her, for God has given me a faithful heart, and when once I love forever."
Soon Pauline, who had become like a second mother, left her to become a nun. This new loss depressed Teresa to a point where she became ill, and some thought that she would die. One evening, during prayers for her,
"All at once, the statue of Our Lady in my room became so beautiful that her face breathed sweetness, goodness, and unspeakable tenderness. But what penetrated to the depths of my soul was her ravishing smile. Then all my pain vanished."
Teresa was cured. The oldest sister, Maria, joined Pauline as a nun in the Carmelite order, and now Teresa, only 14, began seriously planning to follow.
"I resolve that in spirit I will stand continually at the foot of the cross to receive the divine love of salvation and to pour it out upon souls. I actually feel a thirst to save souls."
Even though she was 6 years younger than the age allowed to become a Carmelite, she decided that she would try to enter. First she told her father. His reply was to give her a flower from the garden where they were walking. This whole flower, which was still entire, encouraged her to grow in her new life. By this symbol, she became known as the Little Flower. The Mother Superior was less convinced and referred her to the bishop. He gave a flat no. On a tour to Rome, she even asked the Pope, who replied, "My dear child, you will enter if it will be God's will." 2 months later, her bishop approved. Her life away from the world began with misunderstandings. The Sister Superior and the sister in charge of the novices, while both good women, were not able to find a common ground with Teresa. Instead, she found spiritual consolation by reading the Gospels. But God did not come to her with visions. He remained hidden.
Willingly, I consent to remain during the whole of my religious life in the somber tunnel into which he has made me enter. I desire only that my darkness may obtain light for sinners. I have come to save souls, especially to pray for priests. When our Lord made me understand that it is by his grace he would give me souls, the stronger grew my attraction to suffering. Suffering was the flower I wished to offer to Jesus, the hidden flower which keeps its perfume only for heaven.
Because of her purpose, the smallest tasks, the laundry, sweeping the halls, and the kitchen work became precious opportunities of showing her love to her Heavenly Father. Even in chapel, the daily unending rattling of the rosary beads by the nun assigned to sit behind her was offered to God as music. Her prayers to God were moment-to-moment touches with him by a thought, a glance, or short conversation such as a child would make. But a new Sister Superior was appointed, who asked Teresa to help with the novices, and asked her, under obedience, to write down some of her childhood memories. Some time later, she was asked again to continue the story of her life in the convent, which completed her autobiography. Her outer cheerfulness and brightness could not for long cover the sufferings of sleepless long nights as she and another sister nursed the entire community during an attack of influenza. The never-ending chill of winter further weakened her resistance. She contracted intestinal tuberculosis and in much pain was assigned to her bed. Once the new superior paid her a visit and asked, "Why are you so joyful today?"
"Because I've had this morning two little trials, and nothing gives me little joys so much as little trials. As he increases my pain, he increases my strength as well."
She played a game of hide-and-seek with God, who seemed to be hidden from her.
"He will get tired of making me wait sooner than I shall get tired of waiting for him to come to find me."
On another day, she said to the same sister,
"I feel that my mission to teach souls my little way is soon to begin."
At the end of her illness, she looked at the crucifix and said,
"I love him, my God. I love thee."
Suddenly she opened her eyes and sat up as if someone called her. Her face became radiant with joy, surprised wonder, and happiness. Then she died. The year was 1879, and she was 24 years old. Most around her voiced the opinion of one nun, "Whatever shall we say about her life? There is nothing worth recording." The published account of her life was her short autobiography. But the first accounts were so widely read that new printings were made, and by the year 1932, over 2 million were printed and translated into 35 languages and dialects. Teresa has given the earth a shower of miracles. Letters began to arrive at Lisieux telling of wonders due to her intercession, and exceed more than 1,000 a day written in every language of the world. Hundreds of thousands of pilgrims travel to the town each year. Only 28 years after her death, she was declared to be a saint in heaven in 1923. Her words became true, "I will spend my heaven doing good upon earth." What is our attitude toward the little things in our life? Can't we also follow Teresa in the example of her little way?